Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, January 29th, 2016. And with me again today, because it seemed so appropriate, Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Awesome. Glad you're here. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I am splendiferous.
I imagine you are. And it's great to have you here.
And, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So I thought it would be really good to have both of you back because we kind of need to do a follow-up to yesterday's discussion about the FCC.
Mm-hmm. Do we now?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah. Yes, we do. All right. So the quick recap for everyone so that you're caught up with where we are right now. Yesterday, we talked about the FCC proposal that will open up the cable box, set-top box market so that like Apple and TiVo and Roku, they can make their own third-party cable boxes. That's the gist of it. So Brian was saying this is all about the cable box. And is that a good paraphrase for you, Brian?
I was saying that this wouldn't allow you to choose different cable providers.
Okay, right.
It was about opening up the box that accessed the cable subscription you would otherwise have access to.
I have a better way of crystallizing what this actually is. It allows you as the user to choose what cable box you want to have. And that includes your smart TV, if you can plug a coax into it, or your TiVo, if you can plug a coax into it, or a future Apple TV or Roku into which you can plug coax. And while you can do that today with TiVo, TiVo requires that you plug in a cable card into that, which is essentially like a little mini cable box that you get not from TiVo, but from whomever your cable provider is. So this would, if the proposal goes through, eliminate the requirement for you to have some hardware from your cable provider in your home in order to get their signals that they're sending you.
Right. And Dave, you and I yesterday were saying that based on the wording of the announcement, it looked like this was going to open up the cable market so that you could buy cable services essentially from third parties as well. And that's right. Not the case.
And that's not the case. Yeah, the line coming to your house will still only carry those things that Comcast offers, and or if you're a Comcast customer, and of course whatever your cable company is. But to be clear, if Comcast offers you HBO, right, over their coax cable that comes into your house, and you want to buy HBO, you have the point is that you would have two options. Number one, you can buy it from Comcast if you want to get it over the cable. And that's the only way you can get HBO over the cable is to buy it from Comcast. Again, I'm using Comcast as the provider in this example.
Because they own most of the U.S.
Because they own most of it. Yeah, but it's if I start saying provider, then it starts getting nebulous. So assuming Comcast is your provider, then the only way you can buy HBO over the coax is from Comcast.
Correct.
However, you would like to buy HBO from, say, HBO directly, you can do that, but that has to come over your internet connection. What the point of this proposal is that you can have one box that will let you have both, and it doesn't have to be a box that comes from your cable company. It could be, as we said, a TiVo or a future Apple TV or Roku or something like that.
Right. So Brian, you were right. Dave, you and I, we were mostly
hopeful. You were hopeful.
We were hopeful.
the change you were talking about was...
We saw an expanded definition of what this was, and we were wrong, but I think we were all in agreement on the box thing.
Yes.
Where we disagreed and where it ended is it's only about the box thing. It's not about freedom of the cable connection.
Now, in our defense, Dave, the wording that the FCC used was vague enough that it was actually kind of hard to be certain what they were really saying. So that's still
the question, right? Mm-hmm. I was
pretty sure.
Well, okay, for normal people.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced the language wouldn't. Well, I understand the intent is exactly what we just explained, but I'm not convinced that the language in the public-facing proposal. I haven't seen the legal document yet, unless that's it.
No, but that's not it.
Yeah, okay. So that language is nebulous enough that if it were a legal document, I think it could be argued that it does allow the other things we were talking about.
Dave. Now, here's the deal. To sort this out, because of the vagaries that are in there, in the wording, I called the FCC and was able to talk with one of their senior level executives, administrators, one of their senior level personnel.
Sure.
Who knows all about this specific proposal and what that, and so I asked specifically about that. And what they told me was that there's really nothing that would preclude someone from doing that, but why would you want to?
That's a curious response, but I was going to argue or say that that to really affect the change that Dave wants, and I think that Dave is right to want that, that you'd actually have to change the regulations that allow cities to bestow franchises to cable operators.
Right. Well, it's just like and we went
this
into a little bit
do
of
that.
This. You're right. We went into a little bit of this yesterday where, I mean, cities bestow franchises to phone line providers, right? And it's important that they limit the number of phone line providers that can provide an actual phone line to every house to one. And the reason is, otherwise, you're going to look out on the street and see 35 cables being run, you know, throughout the city. You don't want that as a resident of that city. So you need to limit people to one. But the difference currently between the phone lines and the cable companies is that 20 years ago, the phone companies were mandated to allow others to resell service on top of their phone lines. And to do that, they had to offer access to those phone lines at a 30% discount. I believe it was 30% to any other service provider that wanted to offer phone service. And that's how things opened up, where you had, you know, instead of having to use calling cards for your long distance years and years ago, you were finally able to say, okay, I just want a different phone company, even though it came in over the same exact wire that you were previously getting service. That's where cable should go, I think.
It probably will sometime.
And it probably will. Yeah, exactly.
It probably will.
And you're right. I was hopeful that was this.
Yeah, I'm wondering, will it need to? Because if we can do internet streaming, then that kind of creates the a la carte system that so many people want, where you just go and get the app for your Roku or your Apple TV or whatever device, and then pay for a subscription to that specific service, whether it's HBO or Showtime or ESPN, whatever.
Yeah, except. Except you're streaming that over the internet. And where do you get your internet from? The people that provide the coax to you in most cases.
True.
So and they get to charge rates and they can charge rates based on the amount of bandwidth that you use. Net neutrality prevents them from telling you what services cost, you know, and they can't charge you more for Netflix, and they can't charge Netflix more for Netflix. Right. But, they are the only game in town in terms of high-speed internet. You know, for most people, the coax line is pretty much it. You know, DSL exists, but it tends to pale in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So for the internet side of it, yes, it would make a lot of sense to open that up to competition from a what's best for the customer's finances standpoint. Now, from a technical standpoint, opening that up to competition, it might actually make it more worse.
So we've let ourselves go down the rabbit hole of bureaucratic minutia of what this means, the regulatory minutia of what this means.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the big thing that we haven't touched is that this could let Apple do what Apple wants to do.
Yep.
to a large extent, at least.
Yes, and
with Apple TV,
right? And yes, and the impression that I have now is that the FCC is really excited about the potential that opening up the cable box has, meaning that companies like Apple could create their own cable compatible version of an Apple TV that unifies everything with an interface that's far more useful and far more friendly. And Dave, you've mentioned before how TiVo has OnePass, which kind of does that blending already, but you have to have your cable card.
Right. Yeah. You still need a piece of hardware from the cable company, and that's what goes away with this. That's right.
Right.
And that's the cable card is a disaster, by the way. I talked about it on MacGeekab. I didn't talk about it here, but I'm currently reviewing the TiVo Bolt, right? And I liked it, so I bought one because, you know, I have to send the review unit back. I have the brand new Bolt sitting there in its box. And I'm waiting until I have a free afternoon to go through the headache that's going to, come from me calling Comcast to simply get the cable card moved from one box to the other. And I know that I'm going to wind up on the phone with Bolivia or whoever it is, and it's going to be a big disaster and probably won't work right when I'm finished. In fact, my current, the test unit of the Bolt won't let me do on demand from Comcast. And it's only because they just didn't quite set it up exactly right. I get my channels, but I don't get on demand. And I figured, well, it's a review unit. I can live without on demand for a little while. So yes, getting rid of the cable card, good thing. Hopefully, whatever technology needs to be in these boxes that allows Comcast to bless them, right? Like a cable modem. You can buy a cable modem, then use it. But you have to call your provider. Again, I'm just going to stick with Comcast. You have to call Comcast and say, I've got a new cable modem. Here's the magic number from it. Please bless it, right? And then suddenly your internet connection that you pay for with Comcast will work over this cable modem that you bought from, you know, Best Buy or Amazon or whatever. Hopefully that process is smooth and much smoother than the whole cable card fiasco that exists today.
Let's hope. I got to know a top level, tier 3 technician.
Yeah.
Really well when I got my TiVo set up.
Yeah,
I remember that. That was a long and painful process for you.
Mm.
Well, and you're not alone. That's the thing is, you know, my brother just went through this same thing a month before I went through it, you know, with the Bolt that I'm reviewing. And now I'm just going to have to go through it again. There's nothing about what I went through a month ago that will help when I do this again, you know, probably this weekend. It's just such a disaster.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So
other than knowing, I mean, I knew everything. I knew what I needed to tell him anyway. There's nothing that will help other than it, you know, creates an opportunity for my brother and I to rant about it. What other topics?
Come on, dude. That's what you guys live for.
Yeah. All right. So before Dave gets depressed, the key point here was that Brian was right. Dave and I were wrong.
Yay. Me. I think. Whatever.
Brian, I'm glad. I got steak dinner, though, folks.
I didn't put steak dinner on. That was so stupid, wasn't it? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You totally blew it, Brian.
I apparently wasn't. Anyway, whatever.
So in the end, it's still a win for Dave and for me.
You did a good job of going to the horse's mouth, Jeff.
Well, seriously. I figured we needed a very clear answer.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way our back and forth was going, it was very clear to me we weren't able to parse through everything in a way where we could say, yes, this is really what it says. So why not ask the people that know?
Yeah, to be fair, I did. I'll stop. I'm glad we got it's all a very interesting discussion too, and how it can affect Apple is this even larger conversation, and this could pave the way for Apple doing some things that it wants to do.
Yeah, I think so. This is pretty exciting. Okay, so Brian, you wrote a piece yesterday that I thought we should take a look at today. And this is about some banks are looking at incorporating Apple Pay into their ATMs. What's up with that?
So we had two different reports. One was coming from, I think, TechCrunch. The other was coming from USA Today. TechCrunch was saying that Wells Fargo and Bank of America were going to be bringing Apple Pay to their ATMs. And Chase was, USA Today reported that Chase was going to be doing so. Now, I happen to know that Dave knows a lot about banks and ATMs.
I know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A wee bit.
So I'm curious. So, I mean, is it simply that, and if I don't need my card, my debit card with me or my ATM card with me to go to the ATM to get cash, I can just use my phone or presumably my watch and NFC, Apple Pay, do that little fingerprint dance, whatever the dance is, and then magically cash comes out and it's debited to my account. Is that what this means?
Yeah, this would be NFC, and it probably won't just be Apple Pay.
Sure. Right?
As a matter of fact, the first two companies, Bank of America, one of those banks is doing it for sure with Android Pay first.
Okay.
Right? But Apple Pay is coming. But yeah, it's basically use your NFC transactional device in lieu of a debit card.
That's great because right now you still need to have your card on your person in order to get cash out of a cash machine, and now you don't need it. Of course.
And skimmers are a thing.
Yeah. And skimmers are a thing.
At ATMs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great. That's awfully convenient. I see no problem with this.
Oh, yeah.
I love this idea.
I mean, I say I see no problem. I feel like the security on the Apple Watch is less secure.
Well, I felt that way too.
It's different. I'm not convinced that it's less secure, but maybe it is.
I don't feel as confident about it.
Well, it's weird that if you use your iPhone, you have to do a fingerprint.
Right.
But if you use your Apple Watch, you don't have to do a fingerprint.
Well, you have to do a passcode, or you have to have unlocked your phone with a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but you can unlock your watch with a passcode, and I believe that's enough. Like once the watch is unlocked, then you can do Apple Pay with it.
But right? here's the danger there, though. So I'm a bad guy. I can go and steal your Apple Watch at gunpoint, force you to unlock it once I put it on my wrist.
Yep,
and then go to the ATM without you and withdraw money.
That's irrelevant, correct. Because if someone's going to steal your watch at gunpoint and get your passcode out of you, they're also going to take your iPhone and your credit card.
Yeah, but right. If they took my iPhone to the ATM, they'd have to have me and my fingerprint.
This saves them from having to chop off your finger if you have an Apple Watch.
That's okay. It's a feature, not a bug.
You got it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the concern.
Yeah.
And it totally makes sense, but I don't think I think your
skimming example is a much better,
more
realistic.
Much more pertinent to a lot more people.
Well, yeah, because that's an anonymous crime. You don't know who stole from you, right? Whereas someone at gunpoint, you don't know them, but you know it's a more personal interaction. The skimmer is a passive thing.
It's a more personal interaction.
I'm just being technical about it. The skimmer is an anonymous thing, right?
Yeah.
So this prevents that. Yeah. No, it's good.
Robbery at gunpoint is more intimate.
And Brian,
if skimmers go away when our debit cards have chips on them?
No.
They just get slower.
Yeah, they get slower.
And there are chip-based skimmers out there already.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But would you be able to as easily do that at an ATM?
Brian, here's what I would do if I were a criminal. And listeners, I do not endorse this. I offer it up only as an example, okay? What I would do, Brian, is I would take you at gunpoint to the ATM.
Excellent.
Have you take out all the money that I want you to take out. Mm-hmm. You can give it to me.
You're going
to
be a little loud. You're going to be a little sad at the results, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to take it as you can get it. And then I would take your wallet, your iPhone, your Apple Watch, and your iPad, presuming you had that with you, and leave you standing there without any of this stuff, and you would have also had to have taken the money out of your account for me.
Are you taking my thumb, too?
No. Thumbs are actually harder to chop off than people realize.
I don't know. I bet you could do it with your mouth. They say if you can bite a carrot, you can bite off a finger.
Huh. All right. Well, then sure. I could hypothetically take your thumb with me if I so chose.
Note to self, don't have dinner at Dave's. Okay.
Got it. All right. Hey, you know, on that happy
note, just what they say.
The question was whether or not you can as easily do a chip and pin skimmer at an ATM. And the reason why I asked that is just because there aren't that many places for you to hide something deep enough to install an inserted skimmer at an ATM.
Right.
Yeah. And the skimmers do exist. I don't know if they're being implemented on ATMs yet.
I think this is a good thing. I like it.
Yeah. It's science fiction. Science fiction. It's progress. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And good on you for sticking by your guns yesterday.
No, I didn't. I didn't make the bet. I was apparently, yeah.
Good on us for you not manning up and taking the bet. Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah, this is great. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again next week.